This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January the 18th, episode 1855. Good morning, horse world.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday morning. We have a best of episode for you today. I dug into the archives to find one that I thought you might enjoy, and we're going back to June 10th of 2016. This is an episode that included Kristen, who shares the story of her Belgians, Rocky and Randy. Bruce Shackelford gave us a history on the horses and the American Indian, and Bad Ads featured a rusty aluminum trailer and someone looking for old lady saddle. So that's what we have for you today. We'll be back with another live show for you tomorrow. We'll be filling in, but we'll have someone filling in for Jamie as she is away this weekend. Here in Florida, actually. I think it wasn't warm enough in Phoenix, so she came to Florida. So we'll have that for you tomorrow morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We hope you enjoy this best of episode, a look back in the past. It's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's June 10th, episode 1448, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes. Not a great start for American Pharoah, but he will be set to the lead by Victor Espinosa, so he waits no longer. Right to the front for American Pharoah in the race to the first turn, but he did not come out of the gate all that well. Frosted is away running in second position. Materiality is third to the outside. A ground-saving run for Mubtahij, who's right behind American Pharoah into that first turn that made from Lucky. Keen Ice, Taylor Verve, and the trailer is from Ento. The opening quarter mile was 24 seconds flat. A sensible fraction for American Pharoah, who leads the way on that sweeping first turn here at Belmont Park. And Materiality is kept close by John Velasquez, running in second position. Mubtahij, Frosted, and Keen Ice are right there. Keen Ice is not far behind at all. He's two lengths off the lead. Then it's Made from Lucky. It's four lengths more back to Taylor Verve and Fromento of 48 and 4.5 mile. So it continues to be a moderate tempo up the backstretch here. And it is American Pharoah who leads the way by 3/4 of a length. And Materiality keeps the pressure on in second. Mubtahij is third on the inside. And then comes Keen Ice in fourth. Frosted is fifth. Made from Lucky. Ridden along to keep up with the field. He's sixth, and he's 4.5 lengths off of American Pharoah. Fromento and Taylor Verver at the back of the pack. So, American Pharoah is halfway home in the Belmont. 3/4 went in 1:13 2/5 seconds. And he begins his run into the far turn. 3/4 of a length ahead of Materiality in second. And then it's Keen Ice on the outside of Mubtahij. Frosted in traffic behind them. And then Made from Lucky on the outside, around the far turn. And American Pharoah continues to lead the way. He's on top by 3/4 of a length. Mubtahij is off the rail. And now he's a length behind in second. And American Pharoah kicks away. American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second. And they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
That was the best. Oh my gosh. Those who are remembering that race were remembering standing up at the TV screaming their heads off. Unbelievable. And I watched it with a bunch of ungrateful 13-year-olds that have no idea what it's like to see a Triple Crown fail for 37 years. And they were like watching me. I'm like, don't look at me. Look at the horse.
And you know, every time I play that, he wins. It's amazing.
Oh, God. It's such a happy ending.
Well, can we start the day today with some hate? Well, we'll talk more about Belmont, you know, that race nobody cares about tomorrow.
Start Friday with hate.
We're starting it with
this
hate.
This is going to be good.
Hate. I hate this pony. His name is Pinto. It's a stupid, dumbass video of him laying on his back with his feet up that has hit 30 million views. Can I also say that Scooter hates Pinto? Scooter really hates Pinto because now Scooter is not the most popular pony in the world. It's that dumbass pony named Pinto.
Okay, talk to me. How many views did Scooter get?
Scooter is up to 8 million, almost 9 million now. He's still going.
That's nothing. That's nothing compared to our friend Pinto.
Pinto.
I'm sorry. The Pinto laying on his back thing is good. But when you click on it and listen to the audio, it's the funniest thing. I mean, she made it. So what you need to do is go film another video of him rolling around and come up with some ridiculous Southern accent and some weird sayings.
Yeah, I kind of think that was half of why this went so pop. You want to hear it? I think I can
yes,
play it. Hold on.
Please. Oh my God, it's so funny. I'm like 4 million of those views.
Now this little pony's laying upside down with his feet up. Looks dead.
Why do you keep playing dead? Pinto, get up.
Get up.
Random cow.
I was just gonna say, is that Pinto?
Get up, Pinto.
How the hell could this video beat my ponies?
Because it's get hilarious. Up.
I thought for a minute that was Pinto doing that. I was gonna say that's the more impressive part.
Quit playing dead. Every day I think I'm gonna have to get a tractor out here and get you up. Get up. Pinto, get up. You embarrass me for the neighbors.
He does look dead.
Pinto, get up.
He does look dead.
He's laying
he's
on his
fat
back.
As a
Pinto, get tick, up. So
kind of looks like he's bloated. Then she goes in. Oh, she threw wire at him.
That's how she got him up. She like found a piece of fence and threw it at him.
Dumbass pony. Sorry. No hate. No hate.
Pinto, get up. You're embarrassing me to the neighbors.
Scooter wants to throw down. Scooter wants to throw down. Scooter kick his butt.
Oh. So he apparently does that all the time. But what I read is that there were some electrical workers working. They'd call her and they were like, you have a dead horse in your field. And so that's when she walked out and videoed it.
How many times does that happen? Your horse is dead out there. No, he's just laying down. He's tired.
Oh my God, he looked dead. I was like, when I saw the video on my newsfeed, you don't hear the audio. And I'm like, why does somebody have a video of a dead horse pony in their field?
You were about to bitch, weren't you?
I did. I was. I was like, that's great. I don't want to see that. I'm going to unfriend you. And I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. Pinto, get up.
40 million views. Scooter's got a lot of long way to go. Scooter's the second most famous pony. I knew his 15 minutes of fame. But look, his 15 minutes of fame lasted almost a year. So that's not bad.
Don't hate the player, Glenn. Hate the game, okay?
I shouldn't hate Pinto, the white, ugly pony. You shouldn't hate him.
Don't hate.
Fat as a house.
Don't be a player hater. Don't be a player hater. Just, you know, don't hate the play. I hate the game. That's it.
I'm sorry.
Like, that pony's more viral than you, and it's only because of the owner was so hilarious.
I need to practice my Southern accent because apparently that's what the problem is.
Scooter, you get
Scooter,
out of that
Scooter, you get
water.
Up now. Get out of that water.
What are you doing? You're embarrassing me. Get up.
You do that
out
so
of that
well.
Water.
Did that remind you of being home in Georgia growing up?
You know what? It didn't remind me of Georgia because I grew up in Atlanta, but it reminded me of every day when I lived in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's
kind of looked like a Kentucky green grass, too.
Yeah. I know. I was like, that's not Texas. They don't talk like that in Texas. That's Kentucky. Pinto, get up. You're embarrassing me. I mean, my God, that's Kentucky.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today. We better get on with the show. But I just wanted to say a positive thing that Facebook reminded me this morning that it was 5 years ago today we did the show from Graceland, which was one of my very happiest shows I've ever done. So, but it was 5 years ago today.
Congratulations. Elvis. You're 5 years older. That's what memories does to me. Son of a gun.
You know what it did to me when I saw that? I was like, it's been 5 years since we did that show. It's like, God. All right, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? We're not at Graceland.
We're not at Graceland. On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Kristen Bentley is going to stop by first thing and tell us the story of her reunion with Gentle Giants Rocky and Randy. And then Bruce Shackelford is going to kick up the smart factor, and we're going to take a look at how life changed for the American Indians after the Spanish showed up with horses. And we take a quick look at the Belmont Stakes because it's the ugly stepsister of the Triple Crown and nobody really cares. And then Really Bad Ad sets the laugh track for your weekend. And last but by far not least, go out and get yourself some root beer and ice cream and enjoy because today is National Black Cow Day.
Okay. That's random. All right.
Is here. Black cow like the Angus cow, so they can't slaughter any Angus beef today?
No, black cow is a root beer float. Root beer
is
ice
that
cream?
What they call a root beer float? Float? I never heard that before.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I had never heard of that before.
Moo. I'm like, save
all
the black cows.
Obviously, you did not spend as much time at the A&W drive-in as a kid as I did.
We didn't have that in Georgia.
I'm going to talk the whole day in my southern accent. Just to practice.
We didn't have no A&W in Georgia. What we did is we had the Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen, DQ. Oh, peanut butter parfait, best one in the world. All right, here we go. This is for you, Jamie. It comes from your best friend.
Oh, no.
And it's a little song for you.
Jamie Jennings, host a podcast when she's not out. Cleaning stalls out with a scrub brush and a bucket. If you make her mad, she tells you to go suck it. She's a vegan. She rides horses, tries to jump them around her courses till she fell off, got put on crutches. Now she's taking medication by the bunches. Last but not least, here's the challenge. Who's replacing her best friend, Alan? It must be someone super awesome. Facebook comment said it should be Jerry Johnson.
Yay, Jerry! You go!
If I didn't like his wife so much, I would say more things about him.
Oh, well, that's not all. There's not another song, but that song was great.
Oh,
Jerry.
God, thank I'm you like, you can't do anymore. And by the way, Jerry Johnson, I did not fall off. I did not fall off. I rode my horse all the way to the ground.
Well, that's true. Your horse fell too. So I guess that's technically not falling
so
off.
So your song is incorrect.
That makes you and your horse, uncoordinated klutzes. But he has thrown down a challenge. He would like to challenge you.
I'm not writing a song.
No. He would like to challenge you to a game of Equestrian Jeopardy. Official game of Equestrian Jeopardy. He's throwing down and saying that he, in his minor knowledge of horses, knows more than you do.
Oh, well, first of all, that's ridiculous. Second of all, I need to know more about this Equestrian Jeopardy before I agree and sign on the dotted line for anything. So who's writing the questions?
Well, if I let Jennifer write the questions, neither one of you will get any of them. So it'll be tied with zero. So I will write the questions. We'll get one of the auditors to write the questions.
Yeah, let's do an auditor question. Because if they're going to ask the questions, then you will be like, Jerry, Jerry.
How many toes does a horse
have? What color is a bay? And you'd be like, Jamie, in what year of the 1800s
the Roman times did...
Yeah. I don't know. We'll
I can see the problem. I can see why you're concerned about that.
I'm going to embarrass him either way. So it doesn't really matter.
Oh, Jerry. Oh, Jerry.
Jamie Jennings.
Don't you play that again. That's terrible. That's just terrible. I don't don't even remember what I was going to do. Tonight. Okay. Moving on, shake it off. It's a Friday. I just wanted to give a daily whinny to the hikers that were in a state park in Maryland. Did you hear about this?
Patapsco
State Park near Marriottsville in Maryland. And Susan Crawford was camping and riding, trail riding with friends, her friends from the League of Maryland Horses. And she was trail riding and freaking part of the trail. This is like what happened with Thor. Part of the trail gave way while they were riding. And she and her horse both, boom, hit the ground. He slipped. I slid off of him. And then what does her trusty steed do when he gets up? Runs away. So Susan Crawford said that Plato was last seen running up a hill close to Marriottsville Road in a parking area. And the search began. 10-year-old Chestnut Pasofino, 14 hands tall. Searchers scoured the park on foot and horseback. They used helicopters, drones, search dogs, animal communicators. A weekend grid search still yielded no sign of her trusty steed, Plato. Okay. They asked for visitors to keep us apart. They put signs up. And then one day, 12 days later, 12 days, full tack. Emily, Vlad, and David were walking through the woods and they came across a fully tacked up Play-Doh. His gear had been snagged on a brush about half a mile from Woodstock, wherever that is. And they found him. Play-Doh had a nasty cut, was very stiff, was hungry and thirsty, but was not too dehydrated. He was still wearing all of his tack. 12 days later, they pull him out of the woods. So congratulations. There was a reward being offered and these people denied the reward. They didn't want it. They just were happy to help. And so there was no cell phone service. So they find this horse in the woods and they have to like hike out to call and report it. So the girl hiked out and the other guy stayed with the horse. And anyway, they found him 12 days later. Wow. Can you imagine
still
how
still in full tack, probably a big Western saddle.
And the Western saddle, the bridle was still on. The picture is of him like peeking at them around a tree and he's wearing a fly mask and a bridle and it looks like the reins are snagged and he's still wearing the saddle. Poor thing. Bless his heart. Ugh. 12 days. And it's not like he did anything bad. It's just the freaking road gave way.
Jeez. Okay.
There you go. Plato's done been saved. Now I got that stupid accent in my brain.
Well, while Jennifer gets our first guest on, who we think has an amazing story, we're hoping. I will talk about Belmont a little bit later and who's running and I don't even have a prediction.
I looked up Belmont this morning to like find some information about it, you know, and let's get into it. I was going to break it down for everybody. And the only thing I could find on every website was basically Kent DeSormo went into rehab and came out and it's a whole new me.
After 3 days in rehab?
Yeah. Do you know why he went to rehab?
Because he's been drunk since the Kentucky Derby?
Bless his heart. He apparently got on a history-making performance post-Preakness as far as binge drinking. And he woke up on, I think, Monday and didn't remember Sunday.
Yeah. When you start losing whole days, it's probably time for rehab.
Yeah, he said, Preakness weekend, I celebrated so hard, I don't even remember Sunday night. That's when I decided this is too much. That was in Baltimore. I made a phone call. I said, I got to stop, not slow down. I've tried that. I've been trying that for 15 years. So he called, got him checked into someplace in Utah and spent a couple, I guess, two weeks there. So,
yeah, my guess he's going to need to go back after this race.
Yeah, probably.
Probably need a little longer.
So if Exaggerator doesn't win, would it be better if Exaggerator won or didn't win as far as trying to keep this guy on the wagon?
Didn't win. Nothing to celebrate.
But then, there's nothing to celebrate, so
then
you binge
loser.
Drink and you're...
Yeah. That's true. Either way, you're screwed.
Yeah, either way. Somebody hang on to that guy.
You know, we've had a lot of that in my family, and being an alcoholic's hard. It is. It's not an easy thing.
No, it's well, you know what? I'm sorry. Being an alcoholic is not hard. It's being a family member of an alcoholic.
Yeah, okay.
Hard.
Sold. You get that one.
Because we have a lot of that in my family as well. So it's hard for me to feel
empathy.
Empathy. When you've been very close to it and seen it and all that.
I know. I think every family has it. I think that's every family. That's just not ours. Well, we're going down rabbit holes today.
Man, let's get a good story on. Let's talk to Kristen.
Yeah, let's talk to Kristen because let's hope this is a good story.
It is better damn well be a good story. So I see on Facebook, Kristen Kovach-Bentley of Horse Nation has posted a photo of her and two ginormous Belgians. And the post says, I am so happy to have Rocky and Randy here in my paddock to be part of our herd. I never expected to really see these horses again, let alone to be able to offer them a forever home. Many thanks to Dave for picking them up this morning, da, 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 to my blessed beloved, hey, your home, you will be loved. Now, I read that and I'm like, damn, there's got to be a good story. So let's welcome Kristen of Horse Nation. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
Oh my gosh. Please tell me there's a good story. This has to be good. Start from the beginning.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a long story to go all the way back to the very beginning. But before I worked for Horse Nation, I was the Western teacher and trainer at Alfred University. And I had a little bit of draft driving experience as a student. And they were like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if you would also take over the draft driving program as a teacher. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. So let's see. We had an old team, a Percherons that were very sweet, but they were like probably 35. So they finally had to retire. And they found Rocky and Randy for sale. So they came to Alfred. And they had done, I think, quite a bit. It was kind of a sad story there. I think their owner was sick and, you know, the horses had to find a good home. So they wound up at Alfred, which was a great place. And we all know, like, a lesson horse is worth its weight in gold. You know, like the kind that you throw all your little beginners on, and beginners bounce around and yank on their face, and the horse just keeps doing the same thing day after day. And to find two draft horses that could do that with beginner drivers, I think is probably even harder. So, you know, like, you know, and in a class, I would have some kids with horse experience, you know, who might be, you know, maybe my top level rider on the team, and they'd never driven before. And then I would also, in the very same class, I would have horse beginners who had never, like, seen or touched a horse before. So, you know, these kids, they come down to the pasture, and Rocky and Ranger are like, hello. And they're, I think, between 17 and 18 hands. Like, they're very large. And these kids would just sort of stand there and, like, quake in their presence. But, you know, these horses would let beginners halter them and groom them and learn how to do everything and then eventually harness and drive. And which I just think is amazing that, you know, in a day they'd have up to 8 beginners sort of like learning how to pull on their mouth, and they would just keep on trucking and they'd be amazing. So I worked with them for 3 years before I left that position. And they were like the hardest ones to leave when I left that job. Like, there were probably 20 or 30 Western horses that I worked with, and it was very sad to leave them, but I was like, you guys are going to be fine. Like, it's okay. And Rocky and Randy, I was like, goodbye. I never want to leave you, but you know, they were going to be okay too. But, the way the, you know, programs evolved, the draft driving program sort of fell by the wayside. So they wound up just sort of being out in the pasture, not really having a whole lot to do. So, this spring I got a phone call from the director, and they said, you know, we're not really using these horses anymore. Would you be willing to take them on? And I was like, oh, yeah, of course I would. So fortunately, my sister-in-law, who was actually my TA when I taught the class, she's taken over the family farm. So it wasn't too hard to convince her that we needed two more horses. So we worked it out. And somehow it all worked out. And now they're here in my paddock, which is amazing. I never thought, like, you know, when I said goodbye, I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll come by and visit to you guys sometime, but that was going to be it. So the fact that I have them for the rest of their life is like, I don't know, I'm still like, oh, it's real. This is happening. I now have two enormous horses in my barn. So.
Oh my gosh. They're so stinking cute. Okay. So you're a Western rider and you were a driver at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. So it was, pretty good for the program that in one person they happen to have somebody who could teach both of these. So I think some of just as programs evolve, you know, they kind of figure out where they want to go. And I think right now the program's focusing more on writing. So and the writing program is very strong at Alfred. So, and the driving, I think, is just not a focus at the moment. So,
and what
they
is
do
the
have
name
a
of this
program? So,
what is this university? Alfred University.
Alfred University. It's a very small liberal arts school in Western New York. So, it has a great art and design, and then the liberal arts school and a business school and a really strong engineering program. So, it was pretty unique, actually. Like, I went there as a student and was like, "Oh, this is great." There's this, you know, enormous equestrian center at a very small school. So I definitely recommend it to any college hopeful.
Every student's required to carry
ride.
A shovel all winter because it's the only way you get around campus.
Yeah, there's a good bit of snow. So, but the equestrian center was only like a 5-minute drive from campus. With the horses, it was like a 45-minute drive because we actually did quite a bit of, we did some wagon rides. Actually, we did some really strange things with these horses, which is why I was like, I'm so happy to have them back. So we drove them onto the field during a football game, which was just insane. Like, I don't know how they do these things with the Budweiser Clydesdales, because we had to go under the bleachers. And as we were arriving at the stadium, they were doing a kickoff and everybody drums their feet on the metal bleachers.
Oh, jeez.
And Rocky and Randy were like, "Okay, no problem. You got it." And they're, you know, it's like, and they're just strolling under the bleachers like it was every day. And it was amazing. I mean, people were cheering and screaming and they came out on the field and the whole place went nuts and they just kept on happily trucking around. So that was pretty cool. We've done, we did some Santa rides with like the world's meanest Santa and they were like, "It's fine, no problem." In like very cold weather. So they're troopers. I'm really looking forward to what we might do with them next. I don't really know yet. So
I'm looking, I'm still surprised that Alfred University has a football team.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's D3, but it's fun. Actually, that was
they
where,
play the local high school teams.
Yeah. All right, kids. Yeah,
fairly good. I actually rode as the mounted mascot for a semester for the Alfred football team because we were the Saxons. So I put on this very different knight's costume and rode an Irish sport horse around with a fake sword, waving that every time I scored. So I mean, it's a small sports program, but it's a good time. So
that's so cool. Okay, so Rocky and Randy, they're big Belgian geldings. Let's see, Rocky is the bigger of the two.
Yeah, well, they're fairly well matched in height, but Rocky's a little more upright. So like if you glance out, you're like, "Oh, they're pretty well matched." And then the more you look at them, you're like, "Oh, they're a little different." So Rocky is actually pretty hitchy. Like I think he could have maybe been a decent show horse. The problem is they both have a couple of health issues that's going to prevent them from ever being shown. So
how
Rocky
old
has
are they?
Shivers.
Do you know?
They are around 12.
Oh, they're not that old. I was thinking 25.
No, yeah, they're certainly not like retirees, but it was just kind of a waste for them to sit in the field. So I'm really glad that.
Well, you do some.
Alfred thought of me.
You do some carriage driving and stuff. I've seen you driving percherons and things. Don't you do parades or events or so? You were driving somewhere. I remember seeing Facebook pictures.
Yes. Yeah. kind of in a draft horse family, I guess. So my father-in-law, Dave, he has 4 percheron geldings right now. Mm. So those are the ones we show. They're definitely good show quality animals. So,
good Lord. Can you imagine what it sounds like when the horse is feeding time at her place between 4 percherons and 2 Belgians? It's a thundering mess over there, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh,
the earth shakes.
The percherons are on their own farm. So, but yeah, when they all 4 of them come in, it's like, "Get out of the way. Here they come."
You know, the largest horse I've ever seen, we used to go to the draft horse. You probably know about this one. In Harrisburg, every February, they have the draft horse sale. It's where I bought my last percheron, was at that draft horse sale at the Farm Show building in Harrisburg. And they would have hundreds and hundreds of horses. And the largest horse we ever saw, and usually Belgians tend to be the smaller of the draft horses, and the Amish really like them because they're more compact. They're not quite as big. They kind of like them not quite as big. And
right.
But this, Jennifer will remember this. This Belgian was 19 and a half hands. It was the largest horse, and it was a stallion. It was the largest horse I'd ever seen, largest neck I'd ever seen. It was in one of those little 12 by 12 stalls, you see, the temporary stalls they set up for auctions. Oh my God, the thing was just, his head was way over the top of the thing. It was the most impressive sight I've ever seen, and he had, the neck was the size of a tree, of a live oak tree. It was just huge. I was thinking, how do you, if that horse wants to do anything, you're not going to tell him not to. I don't care if he's a chain over his nose or what, you know?
That's like, I don't know if it's like some sort of unspoken magic that we never talk about of like, yes, you call them the gentle giants. And it's like, you could be crushed like a bug in a second. And yet they're like, okay, human, whatever you need. You know, I'm not going to say they're like that all the time, but yeah, it's just like some sort of code that you don't question it. You just go with it, that this giant horse wants to hang out with you and do what you would hopefully like to do. So,
well, my first thought was,
I don't know if that's like
my first thought was a tall trailer is like, what, seven and a half feet. Well, this, a 19 and a half hand horse, what the hell are you doing? Cutting a hole in the roof? I don't know how he fits in the trailer.
A little sunroof for him, put some goggles on.
Exactly.
Well, and that's some of the problem we had, is that the barn on the property, my grandfather-in-law for many years bred and raised Haflinger ponies. So his barn was built for Haflinger ponies.
Oh, no.
And we were like, oh, this is no problem at all. No, it's fine. You know, and then we brought them in and we were like, they're close to the ceiling. So I think like it's almost to the point where we're like, oh, we might have to like collar and bridle them outside and then bring them back into the barn and see what happens, because they're mighty close to the ceiling. And, you know, standing in the barn, we're like, this is not a problem at all. And they were much taller than we remembered. We stepped into the pasture yesterday to halter them, to load them on the trailer and bring them home. And we were like, uh-oh. So they're quite large. So they probably are taller than my father-in-law's horses by a couple of inches at least. So
you win.
I think we'll see. But yeah, I win. Ha ha.
So it's
quite interesting. In the local draft horse club, there's a big rivalry between the Perchon people and the Belgian people. So my poor father-in-law is already getting phone calls from people being like, what's going on? Because they're seeing pictures of his daughter and his daughter-in-law with Belgians. So everyone's all very suspicious that something is afoot, and I'm like, not a problem. Like, nobody worry. He's still with the Bertrand, so.
Oh, bless his heart. Well, that's so cool. Well, Kristen, thank you for basically saving these horses from a life of being in the pasture and being bored or being sold down the road. This is great. I just am in love with Rocky and Randy, and just give them a big old kiss from us here at Horses in the Morning. We love draft horses. Glenn loves driving, and he's just,
I can't wait to come visit him, Kristen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come up anytime. We'll do wagon rides all over.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
So we can go on a trail ride. You just have to duck really low. So all of the trees.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, Kristen, we can't wait to hear about these guys and follow you on Horse Nation talking about them. We appreciate it. And thanks for coming on.
You know, I was just thinking this gives the term college sweethearts a whole new meaning. Right here.
That's so true.
Actually, they were my first date horses with my now husband. He came to visit, and I was like, hey, this is fun. Let's go drive my horses around. So,
oh, that even makes a story. Like, you missed that. You got to include that in the story next time you tell it. That's
yeah, that's true. Yeah, they brought us together.
So. Oh, that's
so fitting now that we have them forever. Yeah, I guess that is probably a good part. I'm too busy thinking like, oh, they taught so many beginners, and they taught so many people. Oh, and they
And the husband thing.
Oh yeah, by the way.
That guy.
Yes, my long-suffering horse husband, yes.
Kristen, this is a special story.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you. Congrats.
Thanks again. Have a good one.
And okay, bye.
Of course, Kristen is with horsenation.com as well. And I just posted, Jennifer actually found, and she posted on Facebook, a picture of her driving the wagon and the horses at the college. So you'll find that picture in there. And then I also posted the really special picture of her holding with a smile that's going to break her face. So
yeah.
It's like, that's, you go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page and you can see both of those
pictures.
Oh,
that's so cool.
It is cool. That is cool. And in a picture where she's holding them from the front, the one does look so much larger than the other, but then you see them hitched together and they look about the same size. So
must just
be the way they were holding themselves. But thank you for putting that together, Jamie. That was very special.
Well, I saw it and I just knew you'd love it.
Yeah, that was very special.
No matter what she said.
Oh, every time we do this, um, every every time we do this, it just makes me want to perch around again. I'm just saying, Jennifer's about to hang up.
No.
It does. It just makes me want to perch around again.
She lets you have a dang Hackney pony. That's as close to a horse as you're getting.
All right, we're going to hear from Kentucky Performance Products because it's hot and it's summer and they have a product that helps with that problem. And then we're coming back and we're going to talk about the horses coming to America and what that was like back in the very early days.
You can count on Kentucky Performance Products to provide scientifically formulated, research-proven products that target specific challenges facing your horse. In the spring and summertime, one of those challenges is the heat. Horses sweat, and when they do, they lose critical electrolytes, electrolytes that play a major role in optimal performance. Loss of electrolytes can cause fatigue, muscle weakness, and dehydration. Horses offered supplemental electrolytes have less stress-related problems. They rebound from exercises sooner and return to feed quicker after exercise. Summer Games electrolytes from Kentucky Performance Products were developed for the elite athletes competing at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Its research-proven formula replaces the electrolytes and trace minerals lost when horses sweat. Its concentrated low-sugar formula provides more electrolytes per dose than many leading brands. When your horse sweats, replenish his losses with Summer Games electrolytes. Brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, helping you keep your horses healthy, sound, and competitive. Visit them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
And of course, you can find all of Kentucky Performance Products information, products, all kinds of good nutrition information on their Facebook page. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. Well, coming up next, we have a guest that Jennifer set up, and he is, his name is Bruce Shackelford. He's of the, I think it's the Witte Museum in San Antonio, Texas. And they have an exhibition going on right now that I thought was interesting, and it brings up a conversation about history. We all love history here on the show. So we're going to bring Bruce on. He's going to tell us about it. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. First, tell us a little bit about the museum. Did I say it right? Is it Witte?
Yeah, it's Witte Museum in San Antonio, Texas.
Tell us a little bit about the museum.
Well, the museum has existed since 1926, which is pretty early for a Texas museum, and started as a natural history museum, rapidly involved artworks, was one of the earliest museums in the state to show many of the Taos artists and the New Mexican artists, not to mention the major artists in this area and throughout Texas. And now is unapologetically a regional history museum. We still have a major art collection. And through the years, because this was the retirement place for so much of the military, we have a huge American Indian collection, most of which was collected in the 19th century. So when these men would go in the field and work as the Indian agent or as an officer over a post at Fort Apache or wherever they were, they would buy things from the people who lived there and bring them back. And when they died, they gave them to the museum or their families did. So we have a very large collection.
That's really cool. And you have an exhibition right now, and it's called Splendor on the Range, American Indians and the Horse. You know, there's been some question about whether, and I've seen in articles about whether horses were here before the Spanish brought them in the 1500s, and you've studied this endlessly. So tell us about that. And is there any validity to the fact that horses were here, or did the Indians end up with the horses because of the Spanish?
The Indians ended up with horses because of the Spanish. However, horses did evolve in North America. So you have this genetic component that really made for this explosion of horses once they were freed. And the horse was extinct in North America by about 10,000 years ago. There were no horses here. They were probably eaten. They're a prey animal. That's the way we train them. That's the way we deal with them. Whether we know it or not, because they're used to running from predators, we utilize that to train them, and that behavior characteristic is what gives us the ability to use the animal. But they were gone. By 10,000 years ago, there were none in North America. The horses that were here were smaller, but they had migrated into Asia and spread through Asia by that time, and that's what we think of as their home. But horses do live in the plains conditions and in that weather and that grass habitat. And when they came back, they were basically coming home. They were coming to the place where they evolved, and they exploded again. In 1680, there was a Pueblo revolt in New Mexico. American Indians didn't ride. They were prohibited from riding by the Spanish, but they did anyway because they had to have somebody to work those new ranches in New Mexico in the 1600s. And when in 1680, the Pueblo tribes drove the Spanish completely out of New Mexico and back into northern Mexico. And it was such a raid, the Spanish abandoned their horses, their tack, everything. They fled for their lives. And the American Indian people got those horses. They learned how to ride them. And it was 1690, post-1690, before the Spanish returned. Well, that's basically a generation, and a lot can happen in 10 years. The horse population exploded. And American Indians learned to ride, and they really learned to ride well. And they recognized the natural tendencies of horses as a prey animal, and they utilized it to train them too, and they became expert horsemen.
That's interesting. And then it spread out from all the other tribes around the country from there, or did they have similar experiences where they were winning raids, and you know the Spanish at that point were abandoning their horses? How did it spread?
Well, it started basically with Navajo people, the Diné, they call themselves, and Apache people. They lived in the area, and they were the first people to get the horses after the Pueblo Revolt and to start riding. The Navajo had already been working with the Spanish, so they knew how to ride, and so had the Apache. And they began to trade horses at Taos. They began to spread out. And by this time, by the 1700s, you got horses coming from other places. You've got horses coming in from the French. You've got horses coming in from the English. And the tribes, the early tribes that got French horses, we have written accounts of them. The Caddo people were using them as pack animals. They never rode them. It just never occurred to them that was an important thing. They were mainly living in forest and swampy areas, and so they used them as pack animals. But in the plains, they hunted them, and the other key was the bison component. Bison was the food source for many of these plains people and the people who lived on the periphery of the plains. The village people, the Zuni, Acoma, they didn't chase bison, and they never took up the horse to any degree. Again, it was like a pack animal. But you get these people who are hunter-gatherers living on the periphery of the plains. When they got the horse, they had the ability to chase bison, to shoot them with bows and arrows, to lance them, and it changed their life. They had a ready food source that was immediately available that they could follow, and they weren't following on foot. They were on animals that were faster than the animals they were hunting.
So it really did change a lot of the tribes. They became more mobile then after, because they were walking everywhere before. That's the only option they had. They became much more mobile then as tribes. They moved around a lot more or not?
Completely. We think of the Comanche in the South. We think of them as a Southern Plains tribe and living in Texas, North Texas, Oklahoma, Eastern New Mexico. The Comanche are from the Northern Rockies.
Oh, really?
They are not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And they did not show up in this area till the early 1700s. So radical change.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me stop you there. They left the Northern Rockies to go down to a dry, desolate place in New Mexico and Texas?
Bison. They had, there was a ready food source. And I mean, come on, summers are a lot better in eastern New Mexico and Texas than they are in, I mean, winters are a lot better weather than they are in Wyoming.
They were the first snowbirds. Canada.
Oh, yeah. And those relationships continued. I mean, you know, I can remember being in eastern, in western Oklahoma, going to see somebody and saw an elderly man and woman in very traditional American Indian clothes on the street that were not local. I could tell by the way they were dressed, they were not local. And I had no idea what they were there for. And I asked a friend who lived there, and she said, oh, they're here to play hand games, which is a gambling game. They come every year. And I said, well, where, who are they? Well, they were Shoshone from Wyoming. And that's something they've been doing for decades and decades.
They were the first snowbirds. I live in Florida, and Jamie lives in Phoenix, so we know a lot about snowbirds. I just didn't know that happened with the American Indians, too. What was the thing? You've studied this so much, and we all find Jamie has a couple of Mustangs, you know, and a lot of our listeners have Mustangs now. What was the thing that surprised you the most in your research about the early American Indians and horses?
Well, years ago, I did another exhibit called Thundering Hooves that toured the United States, and it was just about American Indians. It was about horse cultures in general, the cowboys, the vaqueros, the and the American Indian tribes that took up the horse. And I think it was the rapidity that the American Indians were able to recognize these behavioral characteristics that were natural to the animal and utilize that to train them. The Spanish, if you know Spanish horsemanship, especially, you know, that came out of Mexico and California, you know, those trigger-reined horses with those spade bits that just, it's like a sports car. These animals are beautifully trained, but it takes 7 years of training. And the Indian people, they recognize the essentials of that and what that training was centered around, which again was flight or fright. They learned to utilize those behavior patterns, and we're still doing it today. It's, you know, the whole round pin thing. You know, a horse is only going to run so far before they're going to go, hey, wait, there's nothing to run from. What's going on here?
I have a horse.
Then they start giving you a little attention.
Bruce, I have a pony that I drive carts, and I have a pony that bolts, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So I get it. Mm-hmm. He's only going to go so far until he figures out, all right, well, I don't know why I'm doing this.
They're like, you know how they are. They're like a little child. They're going to do what they want first, and then they're going to go, oh, wait a minute, I was better off doing what I was doing. And, you know, and it's what's wonderful about working with the animals. It's, you know, it's they're really great creatures to be around just to experience those things. They're funny and, you know, have these great personalities. Usually, some don't. Some of them would like to kill you. But, you know, that usually doesn't work out either.
Well,
but,
so but I have a
American
question.
American Indian people saw this.
I have a question for you then as far as tack. Did they have bridles? Were they using some form of halter? Did they have a bits? This exhibition, I'm sure you have some inkling of what their tack was like.
Yes. You've got to remember the source. It's the Spanish, the first American Indian people who got those horses. They got the tack too. They took the ranches. They took everything. They attacked those haciendas, and they got saddles. They got gear. And interestingly enough, if you look at a Navajo saddle made about 1890, actually clear up into the early 20th century, they look like Spanish saddles from the 1700s. If you look at a bit that's made by the Spanish in the mid-1800s, not by the Spanish, I'm sorry, by the Navajo, they're these bits that look like a Spanish spade bit from the 1700s. They just adapted the exact same things. As they got further north on the plains, they started making their own gear. And so a Comanche woman's saddle looks very much like a Spanish saddle or like a Navajo saddle because that's what they'd seen. a lot of men's saddles on the plains, they could ride so well, they're just a pad with two stirrups. And the pad was usually stuffed with bison hair. And it's just, it's almost like an English saddle, but it's even closer to riding bareback. As far as the gear in the mouth, there was a point where American Indian tribes developed a jaw rope, which is just basically a loop around the lower jaw that had two reins coming off of it. But it's very similar.
A bitless bridle.
To a bow-saw. Yeah, well, it just doesn't go around the nose, right. Completely. But and they did that too. They had, you know, busaleos and all the same gear. So they didn't invent so much gear. They adapted it from what they'd seen with the Spanish.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, and it's funny because in the movies, you always saw the Indians riding bareback. They never had saddles, you know. What you're saying is that it's just not true.
Well, they could ride bareback, and no question. But, you know, you're talking about people who could cover such incredible distances. We have records of where Indian people started during a raid and where they ended up when they were being chased by the military or by, Texas Rangers, whatever. There are times that those people were covering 50 to 100 miles a day on horseback. It is incredible the distances they were covering. You're not going to do that bareback.
No. They were the first endurance riders, too.
Oh, yeah. And they were really good at it and went long distances. So, you know, you've got to have something between you and that animal, and for the animal's sake as well as yours.
Well, Bruce, we're running out of time. Where can people find out more about the exhibition? And if they're in Texas and want to stop by, how do they do that?
Well, one thing would be to go to the Whitty Museum website, which is www.whittymuseum.org. That's WITTE. And look under exhibitions, and you can see some images from Splendor on the Range. And you can it has the dates. It's open through August 21st. And it gives you the fees and the sponsors, Plains Capital Bank. So you'll be able to learn all the information about coming to see it. And we are open pretty much every day, 7 days a week from 10 to 5. On Tuesday, we're open till 8.
Do you have any books you've done on the topic?
Not just on this topic. Okay. No, I've done several books, but not on this.
Well, I want to, if you'll do this.
You do too.
Yeah, get to work there, Bruce. So if you'll do this, I'd love to have you back sometime to do a whole hour, to do a whole episode just on this topic, where we can cover all the different aspects of the early American Indian with horses. I just think it's fascinating. I'd love to have you back to do that, just kind of a one-on-one for an hour and really get in depth about it.
Sure, we can do that.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Bruce. I really appreciate it. It's Whitty Museum, WITTE, museum.org. Thanks a bunch. Have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. It's great to do this.
Wow, so much of what we know about the American Indian in the 1600s comes from what we see in the movies, and you all know it's not necessarily the way it really was. But what a fascinating guy. I really do want to sit down with him for an hour and just go through everything. That was neat.
It's so interesting to listen to you do these interviews, because I mean, like, Jennifer and I both are behind the scenes going, I'm not going to interrupt. Are you? No? Okay.
No. I just love history. I just do. And you know, he was fascinating. I mean, he obviously knows his topic, right? I just love history.
I just love, like, why would they go South Buffalo? Like, he had an answer for all of your questions.
Really, I know. Good. And who knew they were the first snowbirds? Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for a song. You know what? I hadn't prepared one. So there we go.
I'm sure you can find a song somewhere.
I can find a song.
Do you want me to sing?
I could play the.
Don't you dare play Jerry's song.
I can play Jerry's song again if you'd like.
That's okay.
You know what? It is, let me bring this up. It is, oh, you watch. I won't be able to find one of her songs. Why does that always happen?
Well, what are you talking about here?
It's Raquel Renner's birthday today. Happy birthday, Raquel. We play her music, and now I can't find any.
We just played her, though, so you could say you got a preemptive happy birthday.
Okay, so happy birthday to her. What do you want me to play today?
You know me. I want to hear some Jared. He's got a new album out, okay? It comes out in like a week.
We're going to do a special with him, aren't we?
Yes, hopefully I'm going to. I will stalk somebody. I'm not ashamed.
Have a good life. Same dark trail. Peace, love, and horses. Let's ride. Riding Wild Ponies. Heyday. Above the Timberline. What do you want to hear?
The first one. Have a good life.
Have a good life. Jared Rogerson.
That's actually kind of scary.
I swear I wasn't looking. I just turned around and you were there. We spent all night talking about the things that make us shine and how we never wanted it like this. You're an angel, no doubt about it. You can see right through my disguise, and the way that you're flying's got me mesmerized. I know you're something I could never forget. So have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see you again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. I'm like that pack of cigarettes. I got nothing you need. So go on living your dreams, and I'll keep chasing mine. Let's don't pretend I don't have regrets. Have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see. But what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life. Chalk it up to circumstance. It's over our heads and out of our hands. So have a good life, I hardly know you at all. I may never see you again, but what a weekend, I'll miss you so much. I hope you remember my name. You could have been my best friend, but till our trails meet again, have a good life.
That is one of Jamie's many boyfriends, Jared Rogerson.
Love that song. Just breaks my heart every time. Sorry, that was not a good Friday song.
You think Have a Good Life would be a great, upbeat, inspiring song. No, when you listen to the words.
Oh, but it's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Okay, sorry. Okay, have a good life.
Have
on,
a good
cowboy.
Life. See you later. Sayonara. I'm out of here. All right. This show today is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, kppusa.com. It's also brought to you by Ovation Riding. You know, we all the time talk about Ovation's helmets, but they have a ton of other products too. Go to ovationriding.com and check out all the other products, many different product lines that you're familiar with, whether you are looking at the Ovation saddles or all of the bridles and the footwear and the breeches. I mean, they just have a ton of different products, and it's all quality. That's what makes Ovation so worthwhile. You know, Jamie talks about the helmets. We have a lot of our listeners that wear their breeches, but
I have their boots too. Oh my God, I love them.
Jennifer loves their boots too. I mean, she wears them all the time, but they have spurs and straps and stock ties and show coats and shirts. We never talk about all of those other products they have. And the cool part is they're quality, but they're also affordable. And, you know, when you can take a look at a lady's classic performance show coat and, you know, you're looking at $135. So they're in the affordable range. So you don't have to be a top level rider. Their stuff really is made for amateur riders, like 99% of our audience. So go to ovationriding.com. Check it out. They have a list of all the retailers where you can get the products online or locally. But if you want to head over to one of our other sponsors, to HorseLovers.com, they have a 10% off coupon for listeners of the Horse Radio Network right now. So go find the Ovation product you want. Go over to HorseLovers.com. Use the coupon code HRN at checkout. It gets you 10% off your next order. And that's good through the entire month of June. So you can combine the two and you'll be making out okay. Check it out. OvationRiding.com. One note here before we get to really bad. Do we need to talk about the Belmont, or just we're going to say there's a bunch of horses running and we.
Like I said, I'd looked for information about it and all I could find was Kent Sormo went to rehab and is out and he's clean and all this stuff. But yeah, it's going to be, there's a lot of really nice horses in it. We don't have to talk about it. We'll talk about it Monday. How
Lonnie,
about that?
Lonnie's there, the Japanese horse, and they have to keep him segregated. I saw this article all over too. It was actually in the New York Times. They have to keep him segregated because apparently he's being very aggressive to the other horses.
Yeah, he's upsetting other horses. Yeah. So they have to keep him away. Hey, I've got one news story real quick. I need the pathetic loser sound effect because you're going to love this.
I have that. Okay. Yeah. Pathetic loser.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Well, two men decided that they were going to rob a McDonald's. They sat outside. They planned their plan. They got guns. This is in Eastern France. And they're like, bust into the door. Boom. Fire the shotgun into the air. Only to find out that there are 11 off-duty members of the elite anti-terror force sitting in McDonald's.
Oops.
Eating. So a local prosecutor said that the professionals kept cool heads during the holdup. It was out of questions to use their weapons because they're all packing. Okay. They all have like major weapons, but it was out of the questions to use them. It would have created difficulties. They would have placed many lives in dangers. But as the guys were leaving the restaurant, one of them tripped, boom, they pounced on him. They ended up shooting one of them in the gut. And as you, if you've watched a John Wayne movie, being gut shot ain't gonna end well. And then the other one, everybody was arrested. Everybody went to jail or the hospital. Don't rob a McDonald's when there's special forces dining in there. Really? You guys needed a case a little better. There you go. That's your pathetic loser story of the day.
That's a scene right out of a
movie.
80s cop show. That's awesome.
Yeah. It just reminded me of what's the movie? Pulp Fiction, where they like come in to like rob the place and there's like bigger criminals in there. Like, bad call. Don't do that.
That's funny. That's funny. Bad day. That's a bad day to be. Was Bruce Willis in there? Was he one of them, by the way? Because that would be a Bruce Willis movie right there.
I know.
Yeah. Well, one thing before we get to really bad ads, I wanted to mention is that I got an email the other day from Google. And they said, we found critical mobile usability issues on horseradionetwork.com, which could be because I designed the theme and that website 9 years ago when we didn't even have mobile phones. And it's a fairly, it says, usability errors can severely affect user experience of your site on mobile phones, which I knew what I was going to fix. And I knew that they were going to start. Basically, what they do is they delist you in search so that when people search, you're way down in page 100. So I realized that I have to fix the website sooner than I thought I did, and it just is a lot of work. So I've been working on it all week, and I wanted to let everybody know that the Horse Radio Network site will be down over the weekend. Now, you'll still get the shows to your feeds, out to the mobile players and things. You just will not be able to go to the Horse Radio Network site to play anything. And hopefully by Monday, if I don't break it and lose everything that we've done over the last 9 years, the new site will be up and it'll be much easier to use and it will be very nice looking on mobile phones. And then I have 11 more sites to do. So guess what my summer's going to be doing?
Oh, hang in there, dude. You could pay somebody like 10 grand to fix it.
Yeah, that's about what it would be for, or more for 11 sites. So yeah, Jennifer did not approve that expenditure. So guess who's doing it?
Nope. That sucker was kicked right back.
Yeah, see, the problem is I know how to do it. See, that's the problem. If I didn't know how to do it, we'd have to hire somebody. But I actually know how to do it. So here we go. Wish me luck that I don't just crash everything and we're all out of business on Monday.
Good luck with that. I got to go get the kid a snack. I will be right back. Talk amongst yourselves. Yeah, a chocolate cookie bar.
She's got to feed the kid. Keep the kid happy. Well, while we were on bizarre stories today, I thought I'll do this one right before we get to really bad ads. There was an accident. Durango, Jennifer and I are looking to go to Colorado for vacation this year. And by the way, for all our Colorado listeners, maybe we have a meetup somewhere. They had a crash on Highway 160 over the weekend, or last night, actually. It was a three-vehicle crash, one of them involving a large fifth-wheel horse trailer. A Hummer came across the center line, hit this truck pulling the horse trailer head on. And the truck pulling the horse trailer actually went over the side of a very steep embankment that went down about, 200 feet. And the truck, this is like something out of the movies too. The truck and the trailer got wedged because it was such a long trailer. It got wedged on the side of the road. So the only thing holding the truck from rolling down this hill 200 feet, by the way, the other vehicle went down the hill, rolling this truck and trailer with the horses in it down 200 feet was the horse trailer wedged on the road. And it was sitting precariously with the back end of this large fifth wheel horse trailer up in the air. So much so that it was so high they couldn't get the horses out of it because it would have been too far a jump for the horses. So they had to get two tow trucks out to kind of pull this thing back to the point where they could walk these horses out of this trailer. And they did it. It took 5 hours to do this rescue. And the horses walked out of the trailer unhurt. What a story, and what resilient horses who are never going to want to get in the trailer again.
Okay, so this happened because I missed the beginning. So
a Hummer came across the highway and hit the truck head on and forced the truck over an edge of an embankment that was about 200 feet down.
My heart hurts.
And it was just balanced like you'd see in the movies. I mean, it's just sitting there balanced. But nobody was hurt. Believe it or not, they took everybody to the hospital and they all went home. Even the guy went down the hill, the 200 feet down the hill. And oh, by the way, the 70-year-old driving the Hummer is now under arrest. Yeah, because I'm sure there was alcohol or something involved.
I feel like there's a certain age limit for driving a
Hummer. I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing.
Like, if my dad was driving around in a Hummer, I'd be like, dude, you got to sell that thing. You're a menace. Like, you're a menace in a normal car. He's got an F-150.
It's funny. I thought the same thing, and I apologize to everybody. I'm almost there, but I don't drive a Hummer. So anyway,
well, if you're over 70 and listening to this show, you can have a Hummer because by God, you have horses.
That's right.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but say he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, we're back, and it is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when our listeners submit some really crappy Craigslist ads, and we have a little bit of fun with them, usually out of the farm section. And our prize this month is something that you've been waiting for. Everybody loves it. We haven't had one in a while. And see, we had those film crews come to film in my studio, which means I had to clean it. And it was the first time in a year that I actually cleaned my studio and the closet. So I have a big box of crap for my closet. And there's some nice stuff in this box of crap. So that's what you're playing for this month. We'll have one winner at the end of the month. Everybody who submits an ad will be put in the pot. We'll draw from the hat at the end of the month. And we will have...
It sounds so official. We're going to put your name in a hat and draw it.
Yep. It is that's official. Like, it is official. Actually, we put your name on a spreadsheet.
It's high tech.
And we pick a number. That's more exactly what we do.
I like yours
But
better.
It's a big box of crap. That's what we're playing for this month. Which sounds like a cheesy prize, but everybody really likes the boxes of crap. So, because I got good crap.
Just move on.
All right. Celeste sent the following one in. Morgan Mayer, $800. Her name is Fancy. She needs some work done to her. She can be rode bareback. She's Western Pleasures. PM me if interested. She's Western Pleasures.
Again, that's supposed to be an ad to sell something.
Sell something. Yes, she is fancy, but she needs some work done to her. Nobody knows what that work is. But
which, by the way, just on a trying to buy horses off Craigslist and or other websites, there's a lot of people that list their horses for sale that actually like don't really want to sell their animals. Like you call, it takes 3 days for them to call you back. You set an appointment up, they cancel it. You set up another appointment. Oh, the horse got a little cut. He's not going to be ready. You set up a third appointment and they're like, no, I'm sorry. We're not going to be available. Do you want those?
You know what I think it is? You know what I think it is? They heard you on the show.
Just don't want you to buy their horse.
You know, gotcha. They know you're going to talk about them after you come back. That's exactly what it is. They're like, I'm not leaving
really
that woman out.
I don't think that people write really bad ads on Craigslist listen to the show because they would have quit by now.
Didn't we have one that did that one time? Didn't we hear from one that actually we read? I know that
we have in the wings. I've sent all the information to Jennifer. We have a really bad ad story turned good. Like actual somebody bought a horse off from a really bad ad that we read.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
That's funny. All right. Beth sent the next one in.
All right. Beth, horse for sale. One word. $1,400. And this is in Eureka. let me take a deep breath. No punctuation, all lowercase, no punctuation, and then awesome spelling. Very nice quarter horse for sale, 15 hands, tall, Brock, 2 ride, no back, kick, no bite, good for woman's or kid's reason to sell. I do not have time to ride for any questions, plaza, call or Texas.
This horse has no back is what I got out of it. I was like, how do you ride it if it doesn't have a back?
Bless its heart.
That's what I got out of that whole ad. The horse doesn't have a back.
That's a bad ad.
Thank you, Beth. $1,400 for a horse with no back seems a little steep, by the way. I'm just saying. Misty sent the following one. Misty always has good ones. Gelded mini pony for sale named Mooney. Got him for my daughter back when she was 2, Needs someone who is experienced and can settle him down. As before, a girl turned him into a living, breathing My Little Pony with the ability to become a hooved Tasmanian devil as soon as he is wearing a saddle and bridle. Will trade for a life-size plush pony or complete Beanie Baby collection.
I will give you this pony if you give me a fake one.
I want this mini pony the hell out of here now.
It's a fire-breathing Tasmanian devil. That's the first time one of them's ever been called a Tasmanian devil in 5 years on the show. So
I think we've actually read an ad for an actual Tasmanian devil for sale, but never had a horse called one. Okay, the next one was sent in.
And by the way, can't you just picture this pony? We've all either owned this pony or known somebody that's owned this pony. You've had a neighbor that's had this pony.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just a pony. Deb sent the next one in. Horse for sale, $500 in Fresno. I have a female horse for sale. She is broken. 5 years old. She knows how to dance. She is an Arabian horse. That's it. All you get. Now, the bad ad really continues with, I'm trying to figure out what is this picture. It's a picture of a cute little Arab. And I'm pretty sure its front legs are tied hobbled together. But like, those aren't hobbles. It's wearing
one of those $2 yellow rain ponchos around its front legs.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Or maybe a yellow shopping bag from the grocery store.
We all know Arabian horses dance better when their front legs are tied together.
Dear God, you put something like that on me, I'll dance too.
This is a really bad ad. I don't even get it. And apparently Arabians dance well. Who knew?
She's a dancing fool.
Dancing Arabian.
Shoot at her feet.
Paige sent the horse trailer of the week.
It's a
two horse trailer for $750, a little over our price range there, Paige.
Aluminum. I don't know how you get two horses in this thing.
Now listen to this ad carefully, okay? And think about science. Aluminum two horse trailer, not the prettiest thing in the world, but works great and lightweight. Needs a little TLC, but has great potential, good tires, solid deck, and the light worked when I used it last. The best part is it won't rust. Now, Jamie, can you tell me what you see around the edges of this whole trailer?
That would be rust.
Rust.
And the other parts that were rusted, it looks like they've filed off. They've sanded a lot of rust off, but all the seams are totally rusted.
Wait. Why would you put that in the ad when the picture of the trailer shows a rusty old Hulk?
That's insane. The tongue is all rusted. The thing, there's no
the
wheel
roof is
on the
rusting
bottom.
Off. The
roof
the
is
back
rusted.
where the tailgate is all rusty. It's just no rust on this baby. Jennifer will post this. You have to see the picture and then look at the writing.
Well, that's the kind of trailer you get there and be like, that's rust. No, yeah. It's not.
No, that's not rust.
That's
aluminum doesn't
that's
rust.
Rust. That's rust right there. No, it's not.
It's obviously not all aluminum.
Yeah.
It's got some metal parts in there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Paige. We appreciate that.
Let's sit down. Give me 1 second here.
All right. And I wanted to thank Robin Donaghy again because I still have my really bad ads calendar that she made last year
so
on my wall. So it's still up here. I'm looking at June's versions of really bad ads. I love my calendar.
We have that in our kitchen. And Chad loves reading them. He just because he doesn't listen to the show and he doesn't see that we have one of these every single week. He thinks it's so funny when he sees the picture and reads the comments. Oh, so funny. We need a 365 calendar next year. Get on that.
Yeah, Robin, get to that.
Come on, Robin. Lisa sent in the next one, 2010 OTTB gelding. Sonny retired from racing last fall. Since then, we have given him a good slow start. He loves to jump and has knees to die for. Needs to get his flat work nailed down as his neck reminds me of Nessie the Loch Ness Monster right now. His canter is very adjustable. Adjustable between relaxed, nearly trotting, and I thought you wanted to walk. He's not very tall, 15'2", I think. I haven't dug out my stick. Well, I actually don't own a stick, so he can be any size if you want him to be, if you fall in love with him. he is dirt colored, so that's a huge advantage those early mornings before a show. $750.
He can be any size you want him to be. At least they're honest, right? He's really not 15'2", by the way. He's probably 14'1".
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just taking a guess.
You know, that height thing really doesn't matter a lot. You just come out and see him. You know what? He has a long neck, though.
It's his heart that counts.
It's his heart. That's right. His heart. And apparently, cantering is not something he enjoys.
This canter is adjustable between relaxed, nearly trot. You know what we call a canter that's between a trot and a canter is we call it a tranter.
A tranter? Is that what you call it?
That's what we call it.
It's an Arizona term. Quit trantering.
Giddy up. No, that was my girlfriend in Georgia. She's like, my horse was trantering along the cross country course. And I was like, that's the greatest word I've ever heard.
Emma, a new one, sent this one in. Thank you, Emma. Don't remember seeing her name before. It's off of Facebook. And the person posting looks to be about 12. Hi, I'm looking for my dream horse.
Yep, 12.
I'm looking for my dream horse. No more. Oh, you want to read this one in your best little girl voice?
Oh, my gosh. I just stuck a piece of cookie butter in my mouth that my child didn't eat.
You've got to read this.
This is New Zealand. Oh, you want the kid voice.
Yeah, gotcha. This has to be your best teenage girl voice.
Okay, give me a second here.
All right. And apparently, the peanut gallery wants you to read it, your best little kid voice, too. Lucas is
absolutely
going.
Absolutely.
Read it. Read it, Mom.
Okay. This is New Zealand horse for sale. I will not do a New Zealand accent because my brain can't even do a New Zealand and a kid.
We don't
want to
lose all our listeners
in
New Zealand either.
So. Oi! Hey!
No, hey! Don't do it.
We're sorry, New Zealand.
Hey, right?
We apologize to everybody down under right now.
Hi, you guys. I'm like totally looking for my dream horse. I can like not pay more than $1,000, but I'm like not willing to organize transport. But I will totally pay up to another $100 to get him to my place in Wellington. A unhandled, totally like unbroken gray colt. I don't mind what age, though, as long as he's unbroken and he's like going to end up like a sort of dark gray sort of color. So like totally has to be at least 17 hands. But I like don't want any thoroughbreds.
No, we don't want those. No.
Any takers?
Do they get calls? Do people get calls off of these? We need to start calling them and finding out.
I see no comments on the bottom of this screenshot.
No,
let me get this straight. You want an unbroken, uncastrated male that is going to end up gray and going to end up 17 hands, but you want a baby.
And is going to end up putting you in the hospital about 12 times.
There's so much wrong with that.
God,
well,
I hope
Emma,
she doesn't like her unbroken bones because she's about to see what that's like.
I want Emma. Emma, obviously, I think in New Zealand, NZ horses for sale, probably, right? Yeah. I want Emma to call in and tell me what a teenage New Zealander sounds like.
Yes. We'll get Emma on the line. Yes, she can do the accent.
Anybody
next time.
Who's in New Zealand that can call and give me, because I mean, I gave you the American teenager.
Hey, that's a damn good idea. You know, a lot of our listeners now are figuring out how to use the recorders on their phones. We'll have them read the ads and just send us the sound files, and we could do nothing on Friday.
Oh my God, that's genius!
It's genius. Next, we'll get on that, people. Start recording these ads yourself and submitting them to us. We'll play.
Oh my
them.
God, that's the best idea I've ever
I
heard.
I love that idea, and we can just sit back. You can eat your breakfast. We're good.
If you read the ad, your name gets put in twice to win the prize.
Oh, there you go. That's a good idea. I love that idea. We'll put your name on twice.
You get double airline points.
That's
there
right.
You go.
Yeah, exactly. Double the miles.
Angela sent. You want me to read the next one?
I'll do it because you're going to do the draft.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You got to do that one. This is also from Facebook. Angela sent this one in. ISO. That's if you don't know, Glenn, that's talk for in search of. Okay.
Yeah.
ISO, I'm thinking about getting back into English writing. I rode a 15.5 Western seat, not freaky, wanting to get into jumping or anything yet. I'd like an old lady saddle. That's fine. Let me know what you got.
Let me go to ovationriding.com and see if there's a listing for old lady saddles. Is
Google
that a special category?
Run that one through Bing, if you don't mind.
Does it have little rails on the side? What's an old lady saddle? You know, the stirrups, you know, the extendable, you can like a little ladder. I don't know.
I love Craigslist, but I am just thankful for everybody that has anything to do with putting bad ads on Facebook, because I love the screenshots. I love it.
All right. The last one of the day is from Georgia Hall. Percheron Belgian gelding for sale, $1,500, right up my alley. Jennifer, look out. It's in Fontaine. I don't know where that is. Great riding horse. Can be left alone in pasture for a long time, then jump on and go like he's been rode all along. Will walk, trot, and gallop with no problem. Probably even tranter if you want him to. No, we do have issues catching him. Oh, you know how it always starts with the good things and then ends with the problems? Well, here we go. We do have issues catching him, but take a bucket of food out, and once you get a hold of him, you can do whatever you want. Now, keep in mind when I read the rest of these problems that this is a Percheron Belgian gelding, probably 17 and a half hands, weighing 2,000 pounds. He hasn't had his feet done in a while. He needs a very patient farrier. Oh, great. Try and find a farrier that's going to put up with a draft horse that will not cooperate.
Do you know my farrier, just to interrupt, I said I've got a new client that wants, you know, to come to their house, and I said, is there, you know, and I was telling her about the horses. She's like, nope, I don't do drafts. She's like,
oh, it kills your
she
back.
Will do yearlings getting ready for the sale, okay, yearling thoroughbreds, she's fine with shoeing, will not do a draft horse.
And until Sorry. You've picked up an 18 and a half hand Percheron's foot, you don't appreciate how heavy that is.
She will hold on to a stud colt and let it take her down the barn. But by God, she's like, I can't do a draft horse.
He hasn't had his feet done in a while. He needs a very patient farrier. He has a bad habit of snatching his feet from you. Last time, it took over 3 hours to do his feet. What do you think they charged him, $1,000 to do his feet?
Professional time.
Yeah.
He charged per hour.
He rides great, but he can spook from some things. But all he does is jump to the side. He's not one that's going to run off with you. Unless, he doesn't have to, because your ass is on the ground when he jumps to the side. He ducks out from underneath you.
Like, what if you're leading him and he jumps to the side and, oh, he jumps to your side.
Oops. You know that foot you so valued? Well, it's black and blue now.
Oh, my God.
He jumps to the side. We all know, anybody that's ridden, that the horse that can do that little side thing is putting you on the ground. You're going to be on your ass. And that's a long way down from 17 hands. Yeah, I highly recommend, having owned draft horses, when you get your first draft horse, do not buy this one. It's not going to be a good experience. Also submitting this week were Celeste, Tabitha, Stephanie, Angela, Lisa, Laura, Joy, and Reginald. Thank you so much for sending your ads in. We're sorry they didn't make the cut. We just plain ran out of time, but terrific batch of ads as usual, and you're all in the running for a Glenn's bag of crap.
And double your entries for the bag of crap by recording the ad yourself just on your iPhone. Just take that little audio thing and email it to Glenn, glenn2ns@horseradionetwork.com.
And you know what? Every phone has it. Even Android phones have recorders in them. It's very simple to figure out. Record it. Do your best accents. We want to hear your best accents. And
more entries to the better ones.
Yes.
I'm going to be judgy.
And Emma,
Jerry Johnson need not apply. You can suck it.
And Emma, you can send it in, and you don't even need to do an accent. You already have a pretty accent. So just use your regular accent and send it in.
She's probably really young, so she's just going to be like, read it as yourself, because like, you're totally looking for a dream horse. Like, otherwise you wouldn't have been surfing on New Zealand horses for sale.
And Jerry, I can't think of a better way to end today's show. By the way, keep in mind, website down over the weekend.
Oh my God, my internet connection is going out. I gotta go.
Cannot think of a better way.
Host a podcast.
To end today's
when
show.
She's not out. Cleaning stalls out.
See y'all. Have a great weekend.
With a scrub brush. And a bucket. If you make her mad, she tells you to go suck it.
Suck it.
She's a vegan. She rides horses. Tries to jump them around her courses. Till she fell off. Got put on crutches. Now she's taking medication by the bunches.
Are you still taking those drugs, by the way?
Last but not least, here's the challenge. Who's replacing her best friend, Alan? It must be someone super awesome. Facebook comment said it should be Jerry Johnson.
Again, out of respect for your wife.
She loves you, Jerry. She really does. This is her way of showing it.